Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Chelsea Echo for your pre-season review and season preview. Yay! You're not just getting 5 and 5. You're not just getting a little bit of transfer gossip with a great journalist. You've actually got Tom back, who I pulled him out of his cave, right? I dusted him off. We gave him a haircut. You know, I would say we gave him a beard trim, but he can't grow facial hair. And then aside from that, we are just a back. Tomas, how are we?
That was a low blow. Welcome me back. I was really happy in my cave. It's not too hot down there. And it's just stats everywhere. And then bang, can't grow a beard. But yeah, we're good. We're good. I'm. Is excited the right word for this season? I'm intrigued for the season. That's the word I'll use.
Intrigued is an interesting word. Intrigued is an intriguing word to use.
Intriguing.
I mean, look, we'll get into how we feel about the season in a moment. But first of all, I feel like we need to go through pre-season. So I'm going to be completely honest. I am somebody who reads the match reports and looks at the highlights. I am not somebody who... stays up till 4 a.m. to watch the games. I'll be brutally honest. You know, I quite like that period in between the seasons where it's not so hectic and we can just enjoy life. I've still been, you know, keeping up with things, seeing what's going on, getting excited when things happen, getting less excited when other things aren't happening. But I think it's safe to say pre-season's been a bit shit, I think is the best word to use, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, I also... considering our preseason started merely 10 days or, you know, about less than 2 weeks after the culmination of the Euros, I really needed a break from football. So I haven't really been following that much. Obviously, I've seen the scores. Not
you
great.
You tried to hand at breakdowns as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I went over to Paris, changed my name to...
Reagan.
I pretended I was an Australian lady. And I managed to get in to the Olympics. Then the judges gave me 0 points, which I thought was a bit harsh. But, you know, I'm an Olympian forever now. So, not everyone could say that. But, yeah, on to football. Not been great. But on the flip of that scenario is that last season we had a really good pre-season and then ended up being not great to start with. So maybe this year will be different. Let's hope it's the opposite and we can, you know, go in and get revenge on City for that horrible pre-season defeat we suffered.
I mean, you'd like to think that's the case. I do think with pre-season this year, though, there has been, again, surprise, surprise, a lot of drama around Chelsea. Conor Gallagher, Trevor Chalobah, you know,
Enzo.
Osimhen, you know, Enzo, you know, all these things which are tough subjects, I think, for Chelsea fans and for the overall situation. I mean, I had a big chat with Gary about Conor Gallagher on Sunday, actually, in the supplement. How do you feel about the Gallagher situation, Tom?
I like Conor Gallagher, don't get me wrong, and I like his passion for Chelsea, and I like the fact that he's obviously, you know, Chelsea born and bred and everything. But I do think he does have his limits as a player, and I do think if you're looking at that, the money that they've got there, I'm not completely averse to selling him. However, in the context of they basically stripped Chelsea of their entire identity, I think keeping players like that is even more important. And now he's flying back and it's all getting quite confusing and quite techy. I just have no faith in this board to get anything done coming in or going out in transfers. And I think that's been proven again with this whole Gallagher situation. The fact that he was meant to go there, we were meant to get this Omadorian guy. That's now not happening. Now we've gone to Joao Felix. Yeah, him. Guy I've never heard of, but we haven't got him and he's going to go and end up being a world beater now as a result. Joao Felix, who they said no to last year, now they want, and it almost seems they want him just so they can get rid of Gallagher. It's all very strange. And also, we spent £150 million this summer. On what?
Yeah, that was really funny when you put that in the group chat. You're like, what? How does that even work?
Some random kid. He's gone back on loan to Boca Juniors. And he's going to come back and he's got a 17-year contract. I just don't understand it. It's not even surprising. And then there was also, I think Neto was the 34th player signed under Todd Bowley. And if you look at the 34th most recent player signed at Liverpool, it's Joe Gomez. So that's a stat for you. I mean, that's just ridiculous how much, you know, inning and what am I trying to say here? How much... moving around there is with both players leaving and coming into the club. It's crazy. And I don't, you know, I think it's a very difficult job for Maresca, who we'll talk about no doubt in a minute, to kind of get it right early on, because he's already moaned about the size of the squad. It is bloated and they want to bring more people in. They're talking about wanting to get rid of six players, but I think we need to probably get rid of 12, really, whether that be permanently or on loan. And I just don't see how that's going to happen in the next, what, 2 and a bit weeks before the end of the window.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a very, very interesting end to the window, and I think it's going to be very rushed. I think, yeah, Conor Gallagher. Yeah. I mean, we loved it on that last day, didn't we, last year, when we recorded the pod. And then, oh my God, that was the most annoying thing ever, because we released the pod. I was about to release the pod, what, 4 times? And then that Caicedo thing happened, and it was just constantly having to rewrite the whole pod. It was painful. So hopefully, Chelsea, can we not do that, please? That would be absolutely fantastic. But with that being said, of course, you know, we've now got to look forward. You know, there's some obviously big news coming out of Chelsea at the time of recording. So you're getting this Thursday morning. Wednesday night, Tom's favourite player, Axel De Zassi, may be leaving Chelsea Football Club. So we've got one outgoing there. We've got, obviously, Trevor Chalobah probably maybe heading out. Conor Gallagher, Lukaku, Armando Broya is another one as well, and then Bashir Humphrey. So there's a few players who Kepa. Are looking like they're heading for the exit. I have actually heard nothing about Kepa, which is terrifying. I feel like that's just one where they've got to take the hit. I think it's either 1 or 2 years left in his contract. I just terminate the contract.
I mean, we've questioned the, you know, Boehly and Eggbali a lot, and I think on the whole, rightly so. At this point in time, when there are 8 goalkeepers in the senior squad, I have never seen anything like that at all. Like, on Football Manager, on FIFA, I've never seen it, let alone in an actual, genuinely run football club that, what, 3 years ago were the Champions League winners. Or 2 years. 2 years ago, we were coming to the season of Champions League holders, and now we're a team who have 8 goalkeepers. And honestly, I couldn't say a single one of them are, like, genuinely quite good. Like, there's a couple of them. Petrovic is all right, and there's a couple of them all right. But generally, like, 8 goalkeepers, and they're all kind of meh. It's
when they were talking about Robert Sanchez, and they went, yeah, so he'll be the starter number one for Chelsea because he's good with his feet. I was like, have they watched Robert Sanchez over the past 2.5 years?
He's got clown feet.
My favourite thing, whenever he goes to kick the ball, he runs at it like, you know, like when you were little or you watch like a toddler, those like football academy things after school, and they'd almost do that little run up before they make the pass just to get that little bit of power behind it, but just, you know, still P-rolls. That is Robert Sanchez. Like, it's when they go, oh yeah, he's really good with his feet. It's like, you do realise there is a reason that Brighton signed a goalkeeper and then continued to play Jason Steele ahead of Robert Sanchez, and he became third choice. There is a reason for that.
And we went, now we'll have him, 25 mil.
Exactly, which Brighton were laughing at that. I look at, you know, Philip Jorgensen. I'm not going to sit here and say anything bad about him, mainly because I haven't seen him play football. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm a La Liga aficionado. That's just not something I do. But when I've heard no one mention anything about this lad's ability with his hands, and it's all, he's great with the ball at his feet, I've kind of put my head in my hands and gone, oh God, oh God.
This is one of the things that Pep Guardiola really does have blood on his hands. Because back in my day, a goalkeeper was it's a great shot stopper, natural shot stopper. Oh yeah, you're just amazing. Like Petr Cech, yeah, he just saves stuff. De Gea, great, you know, unbelievable shot stopper. And then now you've got...
But De Gea was also relatively good with his feet. I think people always forget that.
He had his moments. But yeah, I mean, the fact that De Gea still doesn't have a club, I find baffling.
He's just signed for Fiorentina.
There we go. But that was what? A whole season?
18 months.
Like, that's crazy to me. I don't know how he didn't get taken up straight away. Probably demanding quite a lot of money at the start. But anyway. Yeah. So Pep, I blame you for that. You know, back in the day, we had Petr Cech. You had Peter Schmeichel. You had Van der Sar. These were proper goalkeepers who would just hoof the ball down the field, not trying to tippy-tap. And now we've got people, you know, we had Edouard Mendy trying to do that. God, that was painful. Kepa trying to play with his feet. And he was meant to be the good one. Couldn't do it. And now Robert Sanchez... The thing is, I just know it's going to cost us a goal or two this season. Or, oh, what was the... Yeah, it was Mendy against West Ham, where he'll just kick it, just kick it, just kick it anywhere. Just always giving away a penalty. And I just know there's going to be a moment like that this season, and it really scares me. And I just would like a coach, it's not going to be Maresca because he's a Pep disciple, but some coach to come in, revolutionise goalkeeping back to how it should be. I'm looking at you, probably Sean Dyche. I think you're the one who could do
literally
that.
Literally about to say, yeah. Sean Dyche 4-4-2, let's bring it back. Yeah. But even he's gone slightly continental. He's in talks to sign a Brazilian centre-back for Everton. So, you know, I don't know what's happened to you, Sean. You've betrayed your roots. But speaking of, though, have you seen, it was about 2-3 weeks ago, there was a clip of Carlo Ancelotti talking about his time at Everton. And he was talking about how the team is so bad at playing out from the back at Everton. He just went, yeah, we had Pickford who's really good with his feet and Calvert-Lewin could win anything in the air. So we just played it long. I was sitting there going, this is one of the greatest managers to have ever lived. And he's not talking about tippy-tabby football because he knows his players can't do it. So,
yep.
I mean, with that being said, I think it's fair to say with the squad that we are looking at here, this is a team built for possession. In fairness, I think, you know, we look at what Pochettino was doing by the end of the season. We held onto the ball relatively well. He still had his chaos attached to it, which I personally love. But it's not for everyone. Everyone wants to see beautiful football now. And I say beautiful football. They talk about Pep Guardiola football. And I'm not going to lie, I was at the Inter pre-season game.
What happened there? I saw this guy kept coming up on my Twitter feed with just talking about the programme and stuff like...
Oh, yeah, some sexy Italian man was in the programme called Lou Beneventi. Yeah, just talking about how Italians and just out Chelsea are just, you know, synonymous. That was fun. So big thanks to Dominic Bliss for, you know, allowing me to be in that. I'm really surprised, to be honest, because I'm pretty sure anyone who listens to this podcast, like, do you reckon Louis swore while he's being interviewed at any point? Dom can confirm I swore about 17 times. But he's obviously, you know, he makes me sound really articulate and intelligent, which is a first in anyone's case.
Practically impossible. But.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm no Tom Masters when it comes to using my words. I'm going to say. However, having said that, can we talk about the football, please, mate, rather than the programme?
Yes, if we have to.
Do you reckon that's going to be like my new thing this year? It's going to be rather than talking about how I managed at Wolves, I was in the Chelsea programme. I think it might be.
I don't know if that will be more or less annoying.
I can do both. Tactically nuanced. I thought that the coat I was wearing was quite gafferish.
I like the photos. I think they look really good. And I liked, I think, the first two posts. And then I was like, oh, he's still going.
I've only done two posts.
Have you? Oh, maybe it's maybe I've just seen it so many times.
You just keep going back to it.
Yeah, I just love you're it like so much.
You're like a murderer.
Why does he keep posting?
Crime?
Yeah, well, exactly. I just can't. Oh, I can't stop going back.
Just can't get enough. But one thing I could have enough of after 15 minutes was Maresca ball. I was so bored.
Yeah, I have not watched anything preseason wise. I've seen a few highlights, but not much. I like to go in. I believe the phrase they're currently saying is raw dogging. I'd like to raw dog into the new season and go into Man City at home, having watched zero preseason football and have no idea really what I'm in for. That to me is great. I'm going to cry. I sincerely hope I don't. I'm not expecting much, I'll be honest. I don't know. It's difficult because we were good against City last year, but I think Poch has a bit of a... him against Guardiola, actually, he has him a little bit. And whenever he was at Spurs, they always used to kind of be City's bogey team. So last year, we were bogeyed enough for two draws, which was great for us and ended up costing them absolutely nothing because they still won the league. Based on that preseason game, I mean, I know... We weren't exactly full strength, but neither are they. So that's concerning. Actually, that team is pretty much full strength, looking at it. Chelsea's team. That's a bit of a worry. Whereas City appeared to be playing Calvin Phillips at centre-back, and they still won 4-2 with an Erling Haaland hat-trick, including a goal in the fourth and fifth minute. Excellent. Yeah, wonderful. So, pre-season, I'll sum it up. Pretty crap. That's my summary. if you wanted a more nuanced summary, then you might need to go elsewhere.
With that being said, I did in the Inter game. I thought, you know what, I'm going to go into this with an open mind. I'm going to watch the football and see what we can get out of this. But having seen people lose their mind over pre-season, which I thought was embarrassing, frankly, because that pre-season is there to learn and get better.
Yeah.
I thought, well, right, let's just see where we're at here. And when we had the full strength 11 on, we looked all right, but I can already feel the arguments this season of we'll draw a game 1-1, but because we didn't have that final opportunity where we went in for the kill at any opportunity, people start using possession stats as like we're getting extra points, and we're watching Arsene Wenger's Arsenal by the end of his tenure there, and that was horrifying for any Arsenal fan, and that is also a horrifying thought. Having already gone through that for a year with Maurizio Sarri, I'm a bit worried that we're going to be doing that again, and everyone's going to be so bored.
Although, as much, and Sarri probably still is my most disliked Chelsea manager, just because of his just lack of general charisma. He did go and win a European trophy, and we did come third, so...
Yeah, but how much of that was him and how much of that was Eden Hazard?
90% Eden Hazard. And actually, well, maybe 80%. 5% Loftus-Cheek. And a little bit of 5% the rest of them. And then maybe 10% Sarri. We started brilliantly. And then he needed a plan B and he didn't have one. You know, just chewing
on his
cigarette. Which
is a big worry. Having spoken to a lot of Leicester fans, that is something which they've raised.
Yeah.
Is that he has no plan B. And obviously one of our best friends is a Leicester fan, and he sort of, we had a chat and he went, yep, cheers, thanks mate, it's exactly what we wanted, thank you, see you later. I'm like, oh God, that's not a good sign.
I mean, we haven't spoken much about Maresca over the summer, and I'm trying to go in with an open mind, because you have to, and he really should be given some time, because I'm get bored of every season coming with a new manager. I think Poch was always difficult for some Chelsea fans just because of the Spurs thing, which I think is ridiculous, but fine. You know,
I mean, me and you had that problem at the beginning, but I think by the end you kind of went, meh, all right,
yeah,
done.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I think... I still think it's a little bit underwhelming. But, you know, a manager has to start somewhere, and, you know, fine, if that's the decision they've made, then fine, we'll go with it. But... just, you know, looking at the squad, the talent that we actually do have, on paper, there's no reason we can't be getting top four. But there's so much noise going on outside of the team, you know, and then you've got things like the whole Enzo debacle and, you know, Wesley Fofana rightfully calling him out. And then you're just like, oh, God, it already begins. And then, you know, Maresca's
it's been resolved now, that in fairness, though.
Supposedly, that's... I mean... anyway, yes. Let's hope and, you know, believe Maresca that it has been. And then, yeah, you've got this whole Gallagher thing, and it's like, in the next... They're so unhinged, this board, that in the next 2.5 weeks, I think there are probably about 3 players who you're like, yeah, they definitely will be there. Like, there are so many players, I'm like, I could easily see them just go, actually, no, you're gone. Obviously, Palmer's one of them. He'll definitely be there. I genuinely can't think of many others who, if they were like, actually, no, you're gone. Because it just seems randomly.
It's,
you know,
just really funny.
If you're a non-Chelsea fan looking in, you know, I've actually got a few people who, you know, a few mates who don't support Premier League club, but they obviously watch the Premier League. And they last season were like, I just want to watch Chelsea, because you just never knew what's going to happen. And then following Chelsea, now it's crazy. You never know what's going to happen. I was reading Phil McNulty's Premier League predictions today, and when he got to Chelsea, he was like, it's quite hard to predict what's going to happen in the next 20 minutes at Chelsea, let alone in the next 9 months, which I thought was quite a good summary. It is absolutely bonkers. So that's why, I don't know. I think it's really hard for Maresca the next few weeks, because he doesn't really have any control over who's there. And there's going to be some random player or a couple of random players who come in, and then a few players, he's like, oh, I kind of like them, who are just going to get sold. But that's just Bowley and Kerr. That's just what they do.
Ben Chilwell's been basically transfer listed as well. Manchester City are sniffing around him. The fact that... What I find really interesting is that Enzo Maresca's gone, Ben Chilwell doesn't fit my system. And then the man who he idolises goes, yeah, can we get him, please? I'm like, if he's saying that at that point, surely you think, yeah, do you know what? Maybe we should keep Ben Chilwell. Maybe he's quite a good left back. I mean, he's not been anything special over the past 10 months, maybe a little bit longer. But at the same time, we're sort of going, if City is sniffing around going, we'll have him for 40 million, I'd be sat there and I'd be going, maybe we just need to make this guy fit. Maybe this is just an option we need to have, especially since we've moved on Ian Martin as well. And I just think that overarching, just he's going, potentially. You've seen that Diego Moreira, who's supposed to be the next big thing out of Benfica, he's just been sold to Strasbourg. You've got Carney Chukwuemeka, who actually looked really good at points last year, potentially heading out the door to go to Crystal Palace for just over 20 million. You've got Andre Santos, who is supposed to be the next big thing out of Brazil's midfield, who was going to stick around for first team football this year, get loaned back to Strasbourg because he's not going to get first team football. On a more positive note, we've seen Big Les score two goals in pre-season.
So he was one of the ones who I assume was going to go.
Yeah.
I thought, is Big Les good enough? And now in pre-season, he's gone, yeah, I fucking am. Scored two goals and, you know, he's been doing, you know, roulettes. He's just, he's clearly worked on his game in the summer.
Did you see that he was asleep during the Inter game? He came on.
That's very funny. And he scored. And that's, I've got a lot of respect for that.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
That's calmness personified.
I love it. I absolutely love it. See, this is the point, right? I've this season, look, with Enzo Maresca, there's no way Chelsea are going to sack him. There just isn't. Because they've locked themselves in this situation because there isn't another manager they can go for, really, who's of any pedigree that would actually touch Chelsea Football Club with a barge pole, unless they went back in for Thomas Tuchel, which they won't. And even then, it's sort of like, we're going to be locked in with this for 2 years minimum. Maresca's going to be here for at least 2 years. So if that is the case, then realistically, I'm just here for the ride. I'm kind of there just be like, right, let's just see what happens.
I think that's the way to be.
I'm going to just enjoy it and I'm going to laugh through the pain because getting angry.
I'll be there with you every step of the way.
You and I will both be there every single step of the way saying that. Where is it? Where's mine? There it is. Me and Tom are just waving our seasons to each other.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting season again. That's one thing that we can definitely make clear. It's never boring at Chelsea, well, certainly not at the moment. And, you know, we'll win some, we'll lose some. We'll win some games that maybe we shouldn't win. We'll lose a lot of games that we probably shouldn't. And there'll be some frustrating draws in the middle. I think it could be quite a similar season to last year, just a different style of football, to be honest. But, you know, who knows? I really have no idea.
Well, we'll have to see. I mean, obviously, with how crazy Chelsea is and games we're going to win and games we're going to lose, there's also worth talking about some of the new faces and some of the, you know, potential new faces that are going to be coming through the front door at Stamford Bridge. Obviously, Pedro Neto signed and is probably, I'd argue, the only signing of note, really, this window. Others I've looked at have kind of been a bit like, meh, like, is what it is. We'll kind of see what happens here. But then obviously we've got potentially got Victor Osimhen coming through the door as well. So we'll have to see what happens. But obviously we've got to make some sales. And one thing, well, I know we were saying we don't know what's going to happen. I think one thing we can give credit to these guys for is they do sell well.
Generally, yes. They seem to have botched the Gallagher deal. But yes, last year they did really well and got rid of a lot of deadwood for good money as well. Like, think about the whole Mount situation. Got him out the door for good money. Got Havertz out the door for good money. You know, even people like Lewis Hall, who, you know, hindsight suggests maybe he wouldn't sell him, but they still got, well, you know, loan, and then Neck comes back, and then bang, 28 mil on the obligation. They've got Mattson gone for 40 mil almost. Although they did buy Amari Kellerman for 19 mil. Question.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I have a degree in football business and I don't know how PSL works. It really confuses me.
No,
I just kind of nod.
Absolutely bizarre. I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. They've got rid of obviously Amari Hutchinson, who they came in for nothing, sold him for 26 mil to Ipswich. So they are quite good. The whole idea of the project, they are quite good at doing from a business perspective, of bringing in these kids and then selling them for generally a decent chunk more than they were either bought for or obviously raised up through the academy. So that part of it does work, but at the same time, a lot of those players that they've sold, you're like, are they not kind of better than what we already have? And I think that's definitely going to be the case in Trevor Chalobah, who they've just decided they don't want. And, you know, I think he was our best centre-back, certainly the back end of last season.
Agreed.
But, you know, we'll have to see what Tosin can do. And, you know, Lee Wakoa back in there. I think we're going to miss Thiago Silva quite a lot as well, this experienced head. But yeah, Pedro Neto, that is actually exciting. I think, well, you spoke about him a lot last season, how much you liked him. You know, when you were talking about Wolves, it was generally about how you'd manage at Molineux, but occasionally you'd squeeze in how you like Pedro Neto as well. And I think he's a genuinely really talented player. You know, he's still below 25, so the board have got their fix there. He's still below 25, so they're happy. But he's 24, so he's not, you know, 17 and coming in on a 63-year contract. I think he's on a 7-year deal, which is still kind of ridiculous, but that's what they want to do, fine. But in terms of, as a football player, I really like him. You know, he can play anywhere in the front line, has played anywhere and done pretty well in all of them. You know, on the left, on the right, you know, his kind of main success areas, but he's played as a second striker before, he's played in a 10 role. He has played as a centre forward, although that is where he's probably been least effective. So I think, yeah, if you're chucking him in there, the only qualm I have, I suppose, with that is it's another one who's sort of, where is his favoured position? I mean, in terms of games played, you know, it's on the left, but not by an awful lot. He's played, you know, 44 on the left, 36 on the right. So it's like another one. We've got so many of these players. Palmer's one of them and Nkunku's one of them. Where do you want to play? Where is your best position? And fitting them all in together is a challenge. But in terms of footballing talent, I think he's really a good player. And I think he can get better. His injury record will fit Ryan at Chelsea, so that's fine.
That is my big worry with him.
Yeah,
that is
he's an exciting talent. Come out of nowhere. That one was a pre-Fabrizio Romano transfer. Certainly to me, maybe you were more in the know on that one. But to me, that was a proper... Orny just goes, oh yeah, Chelsea have signed Pedro Neto for 50 million.
No, it literally was. I think even Fabrizio was like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah. Apparently we bid for him 3 times and then got him. So I don't know how either side managed to keep that quiet and make it an old school transfer, but I loved it. It was a good one. I enjoyed that.
Do you know what was even more old school about it? He was unveiled at half time in a friendly. It was so good. I was just like, comes out, give everyone a clap, right, back off inside. I'm like, what? Yes. I was like, what would have been even more perfect if he signed his contract on the centre circle? And then at the other end of the pitch, they were doing like the mascot was in goal, like, and you had to have like kids scoring against him at the same time by running through balloons. But no, Chelsea have decided to get a DJ who, it was horrible. It was so cringy. Just stood there looking down a camera lens and giving it the fingers like, yeah, guys, come on, we got this. Let's make some noise. Let me play Seven Nation Army in a really bad remix. I'm like, please stop. Please. I'm dying inside. I can't do this, love. Please. I love what you're trying to do, but this is not the place. Can we just do this another time? And can I get your number? That was all I was thinking about there.
I would have loved if they'd gone with the Neto approach, similar to how the Real Madrid and Barca do it. Live keepy uppies on the pitch at half time. Comes on. They bring out a mysterious table, put it bang in the centre circle, and a chair, obviously. And then a paper comes out, and you're like, what the hell is this? And then, like, one of Boley, or maybe someone that people don't really know, comes out in a suit, sits down. And then another chair comes out. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? But it's someone that people don't know at all, so they think maybe it's some kind of weird Chelsea magic trick or, like, a new show they're advertising. And then, bang, out comes Pedro Neto, signs his shirt. They do the whole shirt photo and everything on the pitch. Then he does his keepy-uppies. That would have been cool. As it was old school, like you say, and I did enjoy it. But, you know, some ideas for future signings. Maybe Osimhen could do that.
Yeah, no, maybe Osimhen could do that. I mean, when you were talking about the table, I don't know why, but in my head, whenever you mention, I just think about, do you remember the tables at school? Like the grey tables, and then you had the plastic chair with a circle in the back. I don't know why, I just imagine that's the chair they'll pull out. And I think it'll be like a blue one. Just whack it on the pitch. Ground's going to be like absolutely throwing a fit because he just fixed that bit of the pitch with his pitchfork. But then they come out and do that. What would be even, I think if they did it like that and just comes out into the centre circle, does the keepy uppies, it would even be better. I like how the Turks just do it. It's really random. like some random signing from the Paraguayan league will rock up at, you know, Istanbul airport and there'll be 17 million people outside the airport like celebrating. I just love, do you know what? I might just do that. I think when Wharf comes back, we make a signing, we're just going to make everyone, even if they've like, say they live in like, I don't know, Hounslow, but we're just going to nip across to Heathrow, mate. Like, you know, we're just going to pretend you got off a plane and then just get like seven people to stand outside Heathrow Terminal 4. It's like, yay!
And just change their name. Change their name all the time to something sounding quite, you know, authentic from somewhere like, instead of Tom Masters, it'd be like Tommaso Mastera. That's come over from Serie C. And he's here, he's made the signing for Imperial Wharf. Or, did you ever see, you probably did see the video, I think it was a couple of years ago, of the Malaga fans who went to the airport.
That was insane.
And just, that was so funny. Because the fact that it was a dig at the fact that the club just weren't signing anyone, so they just went and just pretended that they were signing random people. And it was just tourists who were just like, what?
Very I'd have reveled like in that. That would have been so, if, oh, so, yeah. If that happened to me, I'd have held up the shirt, I'd have done everything. Like, I'd been like, yeah, it's
shaking
great,
all their
lads.
Hands,
you know?
Like, put the headphones on and kind of done the old.
Oh, well, the slow-mo walk that I'm so good at.
Yes. The thing is with that, is I can see you doing it, and I've seen it with the Molyneux one, but I can see you doing it, like, not even it being on slow-mo camera. You're just doing the slow-mo walk. And it being perfect, but also everyone looking at you going, what are you doing? But it also being perfect. I can see that. I really can see it. So, yeah. I mean, maybe that's what we need to do. Just kind of you walk through the door. At what point would we believe that Chelsea aren't signing you? I mean, they sign everyone else. Get you in
it's
a
true.
37-year contract.
Mate, to be fair, you know, I'd pass the medical now. I'd be all right.
Exactly.
I mean, this summer, mate, I walked into Stamford Bridge and no one recognised me. Great.
I do think we need a ninth goalkeeper, so maybe that could be your role.
No, mate. I'm not a goalkeeper. I'm like a really, really bad Jorginho. I'm like if Jorginho and John Obi Mikel had a baby. Except maybe
that
I'm quite
a good player.
Well, I mean, it's like passing
like,
sideways.
Sounds like Jorginho with legs.
No, I might actually have to try and find this out. I think I could beat Jorginho in a foot race.
I genuinely believe I could as well. And there aren't many professional... In fact, I don't think there are any professional sports people who I'm like looking at and going, I could, or maybe some of the wrestlers or, you know, some of the heavier Olympians. But
yeah,
Jorginho is one of the only football players I've looked at and gone, yeah.
I genuinely think, right, I want to find out how fast him and Per Mertesacker ran the 100 metres. And I want to see if you and I... I mean, the Olympics is over now, but I feel like you and I should like head to just like a random athletics field and just see if we can do it. I kind of want to see how where we'd rank in the Chelsea squad if we were to do a medical.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't done 100 metres for a very long time and I was never particularly good at it.
No, I wasn't either. I was a shot put guy.
I was a long distance runner back in the day.
Blimey.
Still kind N'Golo of. Wow, Kante. I've got back into that now. Got back into the long distance run. Not N'Golo Kante. No. More like Gareth Barry. You know, they say that you get to 25 and you do one of three things. Start running and probably do a marathon. I don't want to do a marathon, but who knows. Dye your hair. Not done that yet. Or move abroad, usually to Australia, which I haven't done yet. So, yeah, at the moment I'm in the running stage of my
quarter-life
crisis.
I've not done any of those. I've just decided to get punched in the head instead, which is...
Yeah, but, you know, you're looking good, so it's a similar thing.
Oh, mate, I've lost 30 kilos. I'm loving it. It's great. As soon as I get fight details, I'll be letting people know. But we're off on a tangent. We do those really well. With that being said, we should probably talk about, you know, we were talking about signings and anyone coming through the door. And there is a lot rumbling on right now about Victor Osimhen. Yeah. How are you feeling about that, mate?
Well, I mean, last year when we were rumoured to be signing him for a fee that was going to be, you know, 100 mil probably, or in and around 80 mil at the minimum, I was a bit sceptical, to be honest, because he'd had one excellent season. I'll give him that. It was an excellent season, but it was one season. And, you know, we'd signed players from Serie A before. And I'm looking primarily at, hopefully, the man who's going to be going, replacing Osimhen, essentially, in Romelu Lukaku. And that didn't work out. And he obviously had an amazing season the year before. You know, Jorginho had his moments at Chelsea, but when he came from Serie A, it was like...
He had a good six months.
When we won the Champions League, he was pretty important.
Yeah.
And he started well under Sarri. But other than that, I think he failed to kind of flatter most of the time. Flatter to deceive is the phrase I was looking for there. And, you know, so I'm a bit sceptical of Serie A players generally sometimes, to Chelsea primarily, especially a striker, and especially someone who might want to wear the number 9 jersey. But the, you know, the new construction of that deal, I think, is really good. I think obviously getting Lukaku out the door and his astronomical wages is really good, and you know his attitude that you know none of us like. So that's important. And I think we're bringing in a player who has talent. You know, last year was a bit of a quieter season for him in terms of games played because he was injured for a few games. He also went to AFCON, so he played 25 games in Serie A, scored 15 goals and got 3 assists. As you know, I was just talking to Louis prior to this recording. He does appear, based on who he scored his goals against, to be a little bit of a flat-track bully. You know, you're talking a brace against Frosinone. He scored 4 goals against Sassuolo. Sassuolo in total.
Oh, keep going. Keep doing it. Come on, keep give it to me. Talk to me. Tell me the Italian teams now.
Udinese, a goal against Lecce, a goal against Fiorentina, a goal against Cagliari. I might have got that one
wrong.
No,
you ruined it. No, you ruined it. It's Cagliari.
Cagliari. But, you know,
Cagliari.
Yeah, so the one team essentially of any note that he did score against last year was Roma in a 2-2 draw. So a little bit of a flat track bully there, which is maybe something to worry about. But you know, that's beggars can't be choosers. And I do think if we're looking for a top quality number 9 at the moment on the market, there aren't many there. There were 3 that I was interested in at the start of this summer. 2 of them have already gone. Solanke to Spurs and Fulkrug, the big fella, to West Ham. And the other one is Ivan Toney, who, I mean...
We are sniffing around, apparently.
We are sniffing around. I actually was fully off the Osimhen deal because I just thought he was too expensive and I just thought, eh, it's too much of a risk. I want a Premier League proven player. Or Fulkrug, who you just know is going to thrive in the Premier League.
He's a Giroud-esque striker. Isn't
yeah, exactly. And I think he's a brilliant signer for West Ham. So, yeah, fair play. But, you know, if we can get Osimhen in, I don't think there are many top quality number 9s out there at the moment available who would come to Chelsea. And if we can get him in, dare I say it, could he be the missing piece of the puzzle? And, you know, Nicholas Jackson, a lot of his best games last year came on the left. So can he kind of... I mean, I say that and then I'm thinking, actually, hang on, no, we've already got Neto and Palmer will probably play on the right, and then you have Nkunku behind. So I don't actually know what this means for Nico Jackson. But, yeah, I think... I like the sound of this Osimhen transfer. I like the structure of it. Will he deliver? Who knows? That's the beauty of signing a player. But I think he could. What do you think?
I mean... I despite the fact we've had this dopamine rush of Chelsea signing 7.5 million people all the time, there's been a significant lack of that dopamine attributed to players of elite calibre. And I'd argue that Victor Osimhen fits that elite calibre bracket very, very well. I'd like to think he'll come in and make a difference. I take it all with a pinch of salt, considering it is the Serie A. I think the Serie A is a league where you always have to consider your options and you need to be wary of who you're signing. But I do think the fact that he's proceeded to do it in France, he's done it in Italy, he's... Last season, I think it's fair to say, you take it with a pinch of salt because there was a lot going on for him, obviously being in Italy and, you know, around Napoli as well, and the whole situation with, you know, he found it, the racism is bad. He was really put under the cosh and he still delivered despite all that pressure. I'd like to think that he'd come in and make a difference. I was speaking to Joe McIntosh about it at the Inter game, and he watches a lot of Serie A because, you know, he likes his IPAs and he's a big fan of his tote bag. And with that, you know, he was talking about how he doesn't feel Osimhen is going to be the guy. But at the same time, like you're saying, like, you just want someone proven, you just want someone to get done. Based on everything else lining up, the fact that it may mean that we get Romelu Lukaku out the door at the same time, get 325 grand a week wages off of the wage bill. And I think that was, you know, that's big. I mean, the big problem we've got then is Osimhen's wages, which is 10.2 net. So he's going to be wanting to bring in just under half a million gross a week. So it's whether or not Chelsea are going to be willing to do that. But look, I think for me, it's the best opportunity we've got. And I just think this is one where we could sign someone who could really make a difference. And the fact that you got players like Didier Drogba and John Obi Mikel actually going to Chelsea going, we will talk to him for you. We will get him through the door. I hear that and I'm like, yeah, I'm more sold. Ivan Toney was always my first choice personally. But, you know, I think everything else just lines up to see Victor Osimhen come in and make a real big difference at Chelsea potentially. Having said that, you did mention a lot of names on that list. Nico Jackson and Christopher Nkunku were two that really stuck out to me. Victor Osimhen comes into this team. Before we go any further and we wrap up the pod and obviously talk about, you know, where we think we might end up this season, let's include Victor Osimhen for the sake of conversation. We're not saying it's done. We're not, you know, one of those podcasts where we're going to go, yes, done, so we're just going to include him in the squad anyway. But for the sake of conversation, let's say the paperwork does get done. He does come into the squad. What does Chelsea's strongest 11 look like to you? And who misses out?
Ooh, great question. Well, how do you sift through the 8 goalkeepers? Difficult. It seems to be Sanchez is going to be in goal, so you know, God help us, but fine, he's in goal. left back seems to be my favourite player, Mr. Cucurella. Dare he put a foot wrong after that Euro's final performance, and I will be shouting. Left centre back will be Levi Colwill. He's had an interesting pre-season, questionable effort levels. Looks like right centre back is going to be Tosin, which I'm not sure about because I really don't know how good he actually
Wesley
is. I mean,
Fofana.
Wesley Fofana as well, maybe, but he'll play a game and get injured. So, those seem to be two of them will make it up. And then I guess there's Badiashile who will be, you know, sort of will rotate a bit with Colwill as the left centre back. Right back, again, you know, good thing Gusto is so good because Reece James is, well, he's obviously suspended anyway, but he's now injured too, so that's fun. Hopefully, Enzo and Caicedo, this can be the season that they really take this Premier League by storm because they obviously have the talent to do so. So hopefully this year they can kind of figure it out.
Not Romeo Lavia?
I assume they'll... Well, yeah, Romeo Lavia's been good, as, you know, and he's obviously very talented. And then there's obviously Dewsbury Hall as well, who's a decent player. I assume he'll be bit part, but, you know, he's still there. And then Big Les and, you know, and then the 74 other mid-player number sixes that we've got. Some of them hopefully will go on loan. But anyway, so I'm assuming that they'll start Enzo and Caicedo, but Lavia is a good player and he's knocking on the door for sure. Left wing, I think you probably will go Neto on the left and Nkunku just in behind Osimhen, assuming he comes in, and then Palmer on the right. I think that's probably what the front four would look like, which is pretty good. Then you have to question what happens to Mudryk. Madueke, I think, is a really good player, so I think he can work, you know, you can work with him coming off the bench and playing in, you know, European games, cup games and stuff. But what happens to Mudryk is a worry because I think the only way he's ever going to improve and get to a level that he could play for Chelsea long term is by playing football. So do you try and find a loan deal for him potentially? And then, yeah, Nico Jackson obviously will kind of cover the number nine role. He can also play on the left. You know, that game against Villa in the Cup last year, he was brilliant on the left, so that's an interesting one for him. And then, yeah, you've already mentioned obviously people like Kani Chukwuemeka, who I thought was brilliant when he played last year. Injury came at the worst possible time for him and he never really got the chance to kind of stake his claim, you know, obviously with Nkunku out, and then Palmer just came in and took it, so that was gone. So what happens to him? Looks like he's going to go, which is a shame, but the squad is so bloated people have to leave. And then there's probably a handful of players that I've forgotten about in the front line. There's Marc Guiu as well. He's obviously had
a
pretty decent pre-season.
Very, very
so,
good.
So, you know, what happens to him? Does Jackson become a left winger and Guiu's the backup and Mudryk goes on loan? Honestly, it's I'm glad I'm not the manager. I'm glad I'm not the board, although the board have kind of done this to themselves. But yeah, I mean, that is a good team. Good, that's a good starting 11. So, you know, the defence worries me. I'm not going to lie.
It's a mid-table defence. I feel like Levi Cole, it's a mid-table defence. Levi Cole will need, he needs someone on his right-hand side who he knows is going to help him grow and develop. And I don't look at Tosin Adebayo and go, oh yeah.
No. I don't really understand all the investment. You know, as good as Neto is and excited as we are on him, 50 million on Neto, could we not have gone to Palace and done what Newcastle are trying to do with Gehi and gone, can we have Gehi? And gone for him and stuck him at right centre back, and then you've got him and Cole. That could be.
I'd give him the armband, you know, as well. One of the best defenders in the league. Yeah, they played together at youth level as well.
You know, that would have probably been a more logical transfer. I'm excited by Neto, don't get me wrong. I'm really happy we've got him. But there seems to be a collection. We seem to collect goalkeepers and players who can play across the front line and number sixes, and then nothing else. You know, we've gone from having loads of left backs to them trimming that down, and now we're potentially only going to have one specialist left back if Chilwell goes. We essentially only have one specialist right back at any one point because Reece James is always injured, and now centre back looks quite weak, so that's a concern, and I'm not hearing any rumours about them addressing that concern. And in pre-season, that's been the main issue, is how easily we've just been leaking goals, so that worries me. You know, City and then Wolves, and then Palace, first three games. You know, City, obviously, best team in the league. Wolves away, a ground, and a team we really struggle against every season. And then Palace, who, under Oliver Glasner, have been amazing and look really free-flowing. So that's a worrying start. And I think if it goes badly wrong from the off, then fans are going to be on Maresca's back straight away.
Mm.
And it's just, oh, here we are again, same as last year. But, you know, we'll have to see what happens. We can't be. And I know you and I won't be, because we're, you know, rational. But Chelsea fans are impatient, and rightly or wrongly with this board and with how everything has gone, that impatience has grown. And that's the position we find ourselves in now. And I am a bit worried about those first three games, because I could easily see us on 0 points, having leaked 6, 7, 8 goals. And you're looking at it going, oh my God, what is going on?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think sporting directors asked for 4 windows. They've had those 4 windows.
Mm.
By the time this window closes and slams shut, and I'm sure you and I will be chatting on deadline day, we'll assess. But we'll have to see what happens. But Tom, I'm going to ask you one more thing just before we finish. You've given a very damning report on the first few games of the season, but obviously we can reassess in December. But where do you think Chelsea are going to finish this season?
There are a lot of good teams in the league this year. A lot. Like, we're talking 10 teams who I would class as genuinely good. You know, when you add West Ham, I think Palace as well into the mix from last year's 8 teams. I think United will be better as well. It's difficult to say. However, I'm not going to go in and say we're going to finish 10th, because I think that's a bit ridiculous. I think we could finish as low as 10th if things don't go right, but I think a realistic finish, I think, is about 6th.
Yeah.
I also think we could finish as high as 4th, but that's the exciting thing about the Premier League, is I think we could finish anywhere from 4th to 10th, and I think probably Palace are the only team in that area of the table that you think they're not going to finish any higher than 9th or 10th. Any other team, I think, could finish all the way up to 4th and all the way down to 10th. But for Chelsea, I'll say 6th. I think that's realistic.
Yeah, I've got 6th, 7th.
Yeah.
We'll have to see what happens. It's going to be an interesting year, to say the least. But having said that, we thought we'd leave this to the end, because it is something which it's making me sad. But Tom, you do have some news to tell our listeners, especially the top 100 listeners in Australia.
G'day, how you going? This isn't goodbye, because I'm not fully leaving, but I am leaving. That doesn't make any sense. No, essentially, I will no longer be you'll still hear me in every episode, because I'll still be doing my stats segment. But I won't be here all the time anymore. As well, it's a mutual thing, you know. We all have lives, and things happen. So
why do you make it sound like I'm making you leave by mutual?
You are. It's not. I should have.
We've mutually agreed to terminate Tom's contract.
Yeah, it's not a mutual thing. I had stuff, life things, mostly good, that have gotten in the way. So I won't be able to fully commit, and so I will still be here. I'll still be giving you the stats, and I'm sure be chipping in now and again and joining in for a few spaces and maybe even a few pods if Louis allows me to again and. Yeah, so it's not goodbye, but it also kind of is goodbye. Bye.
That was probably the least sexy way Tom could have said that. I thought.
Yeah, I don't really know how else I was supposed to say it. To be honest,
Tom's very English. He just the emotions just don't.
I'm actually a really emotional guy. I
saw him cry at the Piglet movie about 6 months ago. It's true.
Piglet movie.
He's blocked it out. He doesn't remember the Piglet movie.
But, I have quite a lot of movies, but the Piglet movie is not one of them.
I mean, to be fair, given some of your music choices last year.
Exactly. I like sad music. It's great. I'm looking forward to my shower. Actually, I'm going to have a bath. We discussed this before the pod. It's quite warm, but I can bathe in this.
I could bathe in this. I love it. I was saying somebody sounds like an Edwardian when he says that. But undoubtedly he'll be putting on the Chelsea Echo Bangers playlist and probably no. Do you know what he won't? He's gonna have a soothing bath to Jack Johnson. I can feel it already.
Such a shout! There's no conversation with no one.
I'm thinking the back of a postcard. What a tune!
Yeah, that's a great
song.
Album actually. I might have to stick that on. You might be right.
Oh mate, it's almost like I've got really good taste in music. But anyway, that's by the by. But guys, this has been the Chelsea Echo. Tom will be chipping in with Stat Shaggers. So you will be hearing him in your Manchester City preview because he's going to be getting that across to me ASAP. But I will be unveiling the new co-host for the season in the Manchester City pod. So make sure you tune in for that because it's pretty good. Tom knows who it is. It's like we've moved it like the Pedro Neto deal. So no one knows what's going on. But now I've kind of... Yeah, I've kind of leaked it now, so people are going to speculate.
Yeah, it's Pedro Neto.
It is Pedro Neto. Yes, yeah. Sorry.
He's doing Tom's like a Diogo Jota when he was also playing in the E team at Wolves. Pedro Neto is also doing the Chelsea Echo.
Pedro Neto, he was shit, huh?
Pedro Neto is going to come on the pod. Pedro, do you think you played well today? Very false. Very false. See you do that. But anyway, guys, this has been the Chelsea Echo. I hope you've enjoyed your pre-season review / season preview when me and Tom have not been very upbeat at all. I think you can tell we have no idea what's going to happen, but we're also very excited for that and excited for another season of bringing you everything you need to know coming out of Chelsea Football Club. If you are brand new around here and you can hear the train that did just go past my window because it's so hot in my flat that I had to keep the doors open.
Same the plane for me.
Exactly, yeah. You can hear planes going past Tom's window. Not into it. That'd be a bit depressing. But, you know, outside of that, guys, this has been the Chelsea Echo. If you have enjoyed it, please give us a 5-star review. We're back with 5 and 5 Monday through Friday to the end of the transfer window. And then, of course, all of your game previews with some fantastic guests and some new faces joining the pod. Look forward to going through this journey with all of you guys as well. Tom's going to go have a bath, and this is Jack Johnson, and I'm going to go have a shower and listen to some 80s upbeat classics, maybe like Dirty Dancing. I'm decided. Yeah. But thank you very much for listening, guys, and we'll see you later. Ta-da.
Ciao.